Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM. The Fan, Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer with you. Thanks for tuning us in today. Tell a friend, tell a family member, tell a complete stranger. We're on 2 to 5 weekdays. Local sports talk radio back on 1250 as we continue to build this thing back up. As one of my bosses would say, brick by brick. Joining us now, a guy that's established a very big following down in Chicago with their highly successful morning show, Molly and Haw, on 670 The Score. He is David Haw. David, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Hi, Sparky. How are you? I'm just coming off that big Cub high after the big rally over the Pirates in Pittsburgh.
They came back?
Yes, they did. Down seven. Yeah. In the seventh, they won 14-10. They kicked the extra point, and they beat the Pirates 14-10.
Yeah, good. I mean, I don't know if it's good enough to catch a wild card for the trader down there, but you guys have definitely turned it around in the second half.
Sparky, you know we're only days away from Craig Timber.
Yeah, well, good luck. I hope it all works out. I hope it all works out for you. I'm not too concerned about y'all at this point. The Brewers are just trying to figure out the one or the two seed if they can catch Philly or the Dodgers. So we'll see how that plays out. I want to get your thoughts on the Bears. Every week, yes. My producer, Chicago Charlie, grew up here in Brookfield, but his dad grew up outside of Wrigley, so he's a huge Bears, Cubs, Bulls fan, all that stuff. So we do a Hard Knocks recap every Wednesday at 4:20 about the Bears Hard Knocks recap. We'll do it again today. Very boring in terms of watching it from my perspective. I'll give you that. But the one thing like from last night's episode that stood out to me that I don't necessarily know if we get from Gutekunst in Green Bay, but I can't say for certain, that whole scene where Wheeler, blows out his ACL or whatever, and then comes in to talk to Ryan Poles, the GM. And Poles is pretty much telling him, hey, man, look, it's kind of a red shirt year. You learn the system, da 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 da. Get another crack at this next year. And then when he drops the, hey, man, if you just need to cry, somebody to talk to, call me. Like, I don't think that's a thing for every GM. And to me, as a fan outside looking in, that was some nice points, I think, for Ryan Poles, the human being, more than anything else.
I really think that's a good observation. That's the one thing about Ryan Poles that I think is often overlooked. He is held accountable for the moves that he makes and the roster he puts together. And certainly eventually the wins that the Bears accumulate. But he views his job through the eyes of, I think when he's making these moves, through the eyes of the former player. He was in Bears training camp briefly. He was a guy that got cut. He was an offensive lineman in college who went through his share of injury issues. So I think that humanizes him and I think helps him to relate to what he's putting these players through or what they're enduring in the case of Ian Wheeler with that devastating injury in the torn ACL. So I do think that's an underrated part of what makes him a pretty good executive. Now, obviously, you're judged by wins, losses, championships, division titles, and Gutekunst certainly stacks up well there. I think Ryan Poles, to his credit, though, has a relatability that not just we appreciate in the media and maybe fans like to see, but I think helps him have some credibility in that locker room and in that organization, and he's handled himself pretty well. And that was a pretty special moment last night on Hard Knocks.
Previewing the Chicago Bears today, tomorrow the Vikings, on Friday the Lions. Talking with David Haw of Molly and Haw on 670 The Score. Follow him on Twitter at David Haw. Another moment from that Hard Knocks show last night that stuck out to me, and I completely agreed with him, was Mecole Hardman, wide receiver for the Chiefs, pretty much calling Caleb Williams on the floor, is talking about, come on, man, you don't get nervous, really. You don't think you're going to be nervous in week one quarterbacking in the National Football League. When he said that a couple of weeks ago, I'm not sure how many people bought into the fact that he doesn't get nervous, but what is the perception from Bears fans and from you guys about Caleb Williams, the dude, to this point?
Gratitude.
Relief.
a total disoriented feeling because you'd never have experienced this before.
Right.
Look, Sparky, you don't need to tell you. When a guy comes in as polished as Caleb Williams has looked, has sounded, has been overall, you don't complain. You just are grateful if finally it's arrived. Now I know you're coming from a vantage point. For the last 25 years, you guys have known what it has felt like to have somebody man the position who's qualified for the role. That's not the case in Chicago, as you well know. Caleb Williams, the more he talks, the more you want to hear him. The more he says, the more you're curious about what he has to say next. This guy has been comfortable in his own skin. He carries himself with an easy confidence. And the best part, not only, well, okay, the best part is the arm talent.
Yes.
But the best part about him off the field is that he brought humility to town. This is a guy that sought out Tom Brady after his USA career ended. He sought out Michael Jordan's trainer to have dinner with him. He is doing and saying everything right. And so far, his next misstep will be his first one. He has been everything and better, because the hype was, well, you got to watch out for this prima donna. There hasn't been an ounce of prima donna. This guy has been one of the guys. And when he walks into the building, everything changed about Hallis Hall.
Wait a second. Did you say he hooked up with Tim Grover?
Yes.
He really?
Did. Tim Grover, yep. And he did that. He initiated the contact. He knew of Tim Grover from talking with people. Obviously, he was a big Kobe Bryant fan, being an L.A. guy. And he went to took some measures, and he had dinner, and he just wanted to find out what it took, what that drive required, because he wants to be great. He wants to be he wants to be like Aaron Rodgers. He's referenced Aaron Rodgers to the chagrin of some Chicagoans, but he has said Aaron Rodgers is the model, and he wants to kind of copy the great ones. So Brady, Jordan, Kobe, Rodgers, these are the names he's invoking when he talks about what's next for him.
From somebody with experience, you do not want him to copy Rodgers from the fact of being on Pat McAfee every week. Try to avoid that, if at all possible.
We got that.
Yeah, yeah. Try to avoid that.
We'll try to get him on our show every week.
That's good. Yeah, that's a lot safer than McAfee. David, they get Samari Toure, do the Bears, from the Packers. I think he was the 8th wide receiver on the Packers. You guys went through this already with St. Brown the last time the Packers let go of somebody. What are they looking for in that wide receiver room that they wanted Samari Toure?
My guess is that was a move based just to get intel. I don't see a role for him. I don't see any kind of way that he cracks the 53. They have, arguably three of the best wide receivers they've had at one time in Chicago, in DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Rome Odunze. They like Tyler Scott, their 4th wide receiver with some speed. They kept Bayless Jones. Maybe he cracks in that way, maybe the 6th wide receiver, but there's not enough football to go around right now, because you got guys who all feel like they're capable of 800 to 1,000 yard seasons, and the passing game with the rookie quarterback, you're going to have ups and downs. As high as everybody is on Caleb Williams, I think realistically, you know that he's a rookie and there could be some inconsistency. So I'm not quite sure what the role would be. I think it's probably just to get some intel and to give him a chance and take a look.
We talk about him being set up more than any other number one pick in Caleb Williams, because you have Keenan Allen, because you have DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, even Odunze as a rookie, I think it's going to be really good. Then that running back room, adding Swift to it. This is different than what Jordan Love walked into last year, because everybody was inexperienced. Everybody was having to learn with each other. He wasn't necessarily the missing piece. It's more similar to Rodgers replacing Brett, and the fact that he was surrounded by a bunch of veterans and he was expected not to screw it all up. And that's kind of how this is for Caleb Williams. With that, I think the pressure kind of falls onto DJ Moore and Keenan Allen to be the leaders and to help him as much as possible and to show patience while going about doing this in the beginning of the season.
I would agree with that totally. And I also think that, don't forget, what makes it such a conducive to winning situation is because he's got a ready-made defense that believes that if they can stay healthy, it's a top 5 to top 10 unit with Montez Sweat and Tremaine Edmonds, and certainly a secondary with Jalen Johnson as good as any in the league. So if you play that style of football, you can lean on your running game. You don't have to rely on your quarterback to be hero, play hero ball, and your defense can carry the day and be the strength of your team. I think it doesn't have to be like what was tremendous, and obviously I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but Aaron Rodgers kind of elevated everybody in the way that Favre did. He made the receivers better around him. Right now, Caleb Williams doesn't have to do that yet, because the receivers around him are largely proven. So they can make him better until he's at the point where he can elevate the play of everybody around him. And I would believe that this is even a better situation than C.J. Stroud was facing last year in Houston. And if he can do for the Bears what C.J. Stroud did for the Texans, then we'll be talking again in a few months, and we'll talk about the Bears being in contention for the NFC North or maybe a playoff spot as maybe a wild card team.
If you don't change offensive coordinators in the offseason, do you still have as much confidence in Caleb Williams?
No, that's a great point because Luke Getsy had worn out his welcome, and I think that there was just a collective citywide cynicism surrounding what he brought and how he stalled Justin Fields' development. So he wasn't going to be given another chance. Shane Waldron comes here, a more professionalized version of your typical play caller, and even though he may not be at that creative yet, we don't know, but he does bring some consistency in the approach to the job, and he also has a demeanor and that you kind of trust. So I think that a lot of Bears fans, and certainly I think the people that cover the team, consider going from Luke Getsy to Shane Waldron an upgrade.
I would like to know what the expectations are, but at the same point, I also want to ask the question of, is there a warm seat or a hot seat for GM and head coach with expectations from those above, from the McCaskey family, going into this season where, hey, you better go win, you know, 9 games this year, otherwise we're going to make changes? Or is it you get another extended honeymoon because you have Caleb Williams now?
I think there's tremendous faith in Ryan Poles and the way he's put this roster together and the decisions that he has made. He made the decision in January with a lot of qualified coaches on the market to reinvest faith and resources in Matt Eberflus. That goes a long way. Now, 9 wins should be probably realistic because I think if you go 9-8, you look like the arrow's pointing up. Now, there are two ways to get to 9-8, right? You can start fast and finish slow. If they're doing that, then the arrow's pointing in the wrong direction at the end of the season. We might have a conversation about maybe moving on from Eberflus. I don't expect that to happen. I think the Bears really like what he has to offer. He's made some considerable changes in his demeanor and his approach and the way he communicates, and you have to hope that that translates on the field. If it does, I don't want to, you know, tell you that this is going to be a team that's going to beat the Lions or even be better than the Packers. I think they are a team that can win more than they lose. I have them at 9-8. I think they'll be interesting, a team that nobody wants to play in December because I think they will begin to ascend. You'll see Caleb Williams get better. You'll see that defense be fierce, and I think this is going to be a competitive football team.
Chicago's a Bears town more than it is anything else, right?
Without question. We could talk Bears 24 hours a day on the score. We could talk Bears 7 days a week on the score, and we pretty much do, and we get away with it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He is David Haugh, Molly and Haugh, 670 the score. He did not get breakfast ball on FS1, however. And Danny Parkins. Did you see that his first show, he didn't get to talk for the first 3 minutes of the show because of those other two guys?
I didn't see that, but I'm surprised that he survived that. 3 minutes without talking for Danny is a lifetime.
I was like, man, if you're going to be a third wheel, might as well make a ton of money being a third wheel. That'll all work out all right. Yeah. Awful announcing it tweeted out the video. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, we're happy for Danny. He did a great job in Chicago. Wish him nothing but the best. And now it's great to talk to you, Sparky.
Hey, take care, buddy. There he is, David Haugh. Okay. Follow him on Twitter at David Haugh, part of Molly and Haugh on 670 The Score. There you go.